Well, this evening we're looking at the first of the five Hallelujah Psalms. They're called Hallelujah Psalms, the last five in the book of Psalms, because they begin with the word Hallelujah, which we translate as praise the Lord. And each psalm ends with the same word, Hallelujah. And the book of Psalms is a book replete with many themes. The book of Psalms covers God's people in times of great despair and agony, mourning over sin. We saw last week Psalm 51, how David was in that state, have mercy upon me, O God, and crying out that God would have mercy according to his loving kindness, according to the multitude of his tender mercies, but saying that his sin was forever before him. There are different experiences that God's people go through, times of mourning, times of trial. There are also times of joy. And it's lovely that the book of Psalms ends with a great crescendo, a crescendo of praise. I don't know how many times the expression praise the Lord is found in the last five Psalms. I think it's something like 40, if memory serves me right. But we end this songbook of the Old Testament with God's people called to exalt the name of God. Now, if these Old Testament people were called to be a people of praise, declaring the praises of God, how much more we who know the Lord Jesus in the New Testament? In the Old Testament, they had glimpses of the Saviour. Jesus said, Abraham saw my day. They were looking forward, but it was all shadowy. They could only see a certain amount, but we now live in the full light of day. Now we have the full revelation of God. And we have every reason to praise our God, even when we feel down in the dumps. Now today, for the first time for a long time, we've had four hymns in the morning and four hymns in the evening. And I know our people love to sing God's praises. As soon as we could, we got back to singing God's praises. Midweek, we've been singing. Singing is important for God's people. It's one of the things that we found difficult. We know that singing has more risks during coronavirus times, more particles are spread as people lift up their voices, and so we've worn masks, we've sought to be careful, we've socially distanced, but it's been good to sing the praises of God. But God just doesn't want us to sing with our lips. He wants us to sing from our hearts. And churches that haven't sung yet may well have worshipped God with all their hearts. We don't have to open our lips. We can sing from within our being, making a tuneful melody in our hearts to the Lord. Well, hallelujah, a compound word, hallel, meaning the Hebrew word meaning praise, and then Yah or Jah, standing for Yahweh or Jehovah. Praise Jehovah, praise Yahweh, praise the Lord. And each psalm begins with his expression, praise the Lord, and ends with the expression, praise the Lord. And it's a phrase that Christians often use when we see acts of God, we see responses to prayer, we often say, praise God, praise the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing to do. But we need to always be careful that we don't just say it without meaning it. That we don't take God's name in vain by just blurting out an expression, almost like just saying great, but actually we really mean it from our hearts, praise the Lord. Now notice that some of the Psalms, there's directives beforehand to pray on a certain tune, maybe a mikchum, or to play with a certain type of instrument, but this Psalm, Psalm 146, doesn't tell us anything about the instrument on which to play. In one sense, it doesn't really matter. The main thing is that God's people worship in spirit and in truth, whether with an instrument or whether without an instrument. Maybe they well sang this in the temple with instruments. Maybe they sang it in their homes without instruments. It didn't matter. No setting is given for the psalm. Sometimes you hear the setting. Last week, Psalm 51 was composed by David after he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and Nathan the prophet had come to him. It was his prayer of repentance. We know the setting to that psalm. But this psalm gives us no setting. It can be used on all occasions. It could be used in the temple. It could be used not in the temple. It could be used in good times, in bad times. It's a song of praise that we can use as God's people at any time. And the psalmist here gives us lots of reasons as to why we can praise God. It focuses from verse 6 on the character of God, on his actions. And as the psalmist meditates on who God is and what he does, he's called to praise the Lord. And really, after sermons, after we've heard God's word, it ought to lead us into praise and worship. There's no harm in having a sermon at the beginning of a service and maybe then having two or three hymns of praise or prayer afterwards. But it's always as we think of who God is and how great he is and what he does is that we ought to worship them and praise ought to flow from our hearts. Now, praise ought to come from sanctified hearts. Do you remember in the New Testament, James says this, that out of the human being's mouth comes blessing and cursing. And James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, these things ought not to be so. No man can tame the tongue. The times we speak badly of others, we curse. We don't speak as we ought to speak. And James says, how can it be? How can it be that blessing and cursing comes from the same mouth? These things ought not to be. Psalm 15 reminds us that we ought to come with clean hands and a pure heart to before God. And Psalm 15 gives us directives on how the sinner must approach God. Well, here you just see exuberant praise ushering from the lips of the psalmist. And we're going to look at verses 1 and 2, which is a call to worship. Then verses 3 and 4, a caution about misplaced trust. And then verses 5 to 10, reasons to trust God and rejoice in him. So first of all, verses 1 and 2, a call to worship. Praise the Lord, as if he's declaring to everybody, he's calling upon all of God's people to extol the Lord their God, to know who he is, Jehovah, not any old God, but the covenant God, the one that they know that they're in relationship with, in covenant with. Praise the Lord. It's a call on all of God's people to praise him. But then he seeks to stir himself up. Praise the Lord, O my soul. He himself wants to join in the anthem of heaven. All the angels are praising God. We could say today, tonight, this very moment, there are many people throughout the world and throughout our country, throughout the UK, praising God. There are many who have praised God. And we're called to join in this great anthem of praise and worship, but not only on a Sunday, not only on the Lord's Day, but each day. You've often heard it, what is the chief end of man? What is the purpose that we're here? The chief end of man is that he might glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's the very reason for our existence. Now, sometimes we're like the psalmist and we say, Lord, open my lips that my mouth shall show forth your praise. We need help to praise God. We need the Spirit of God coming. Sometimes we just don't feel like praising. Sometimes we're in the depths of depression. Sometimes we're really struggling in our Christian lives. Sometimes things have happened in our lives, in the life of our family, or at work, or in our neighborhood, that have brought great sorrow to our hearts. And we feel that just a groan can come from our hearts. Well, the Lord understands that. In one sense, when Hannah was in the temple weeping, 1 Samuel chapter 1, in one sense it was praise because she went to the Lord with her request. And he saw her broken heart. Now, God wants us to rejoice in him. That's the usual state of the Christian. We at times will grow through great sorrow, but he wants us to rejoice in him. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. And praise ought to be something pleasant. Look at Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant and praise is beautiful. I found that today. If you found that singing this morning and this evening, that praise has been pleasant, been very beautiful. If you go on the live stream and want to listen in again, it's just lovely to hear the sound of the piano and you can sing those words again to the Lord. It's pleasant because you're honouring him. Your focus is upon the Lord. It's pleasant because his spirit indwells God's people and enables us to worship him. How do you feel this evening? Do you feel like Anna? Or maybe you feel like David when he returned with his people after victory with his soldiers and he danced before the Lord his God. Maybe we're neither of those two extremes. Maybe we're not in the depths, but maybe we're not in the exuberant heights. But our feelings in one sense don't matter. We ought to offer a sacrifice of praise. Now, I'm not saying that feelings aren't important. We've just said, rejoice, no joy in the Lord. But when our feelings don't match everything that we want, we still can offer that sacrifice of praise to God. So what does he say? Verse 2. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. What is praise? Well, you could say we praise God as we keep his commandments, as we honor him. In one sense, that's a fragrance to God. But praise is also an expression of the heart that comes from the lips. And it involves singing. Why singing? Why not just verbally saying things to God? You can praise God in prayer without singing. Well, we praise God in prayer, but also God wants us to sing to him. There's something very beautiful about singing. You might say, well, I haven't got a very tuneful voice. That doesn't matter. God just loves to hear that effort of the heart in worshiping and honoring him. How have you been over lockdown? Maybe it's given you more time to be at home and to sing some of God's praises. Maybe you've taken a hymn book out. Maybe you've listened to YouTube videos and you've sung God's praises. The psalmist says, while I live, while I have breath, whilst I'm here upon this earth, I will sing the praises of the Lord. And notice there's a holy resolve. I will, he says, twice in verse 2. I will do this. As resolve, as determination. This is something I'm going to do. As if he's taking hold of himself. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will sing your praises. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Forget not all his benefits. We need to take hold of ourselves sometimes and pray for God's Spirit to stir us up. I will sing the praises of my God. So here's a call to worship. It's a call for all of God's people, but also the psalmist is calling himself to worship the Lord. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is our perfect example. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12, there's a remarkable verse speaking of Jesus. It says this, I will declare your name to my brethren. Here's Jesus standing amongst the church. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praises to you. When we worship God our Father, Christ is in the midst. And he sings with us to the Father. He's the choir master. And we sing with him. Upon the earth, he lifted up his heart and he worshiped God. And we come to the Father through the Son. And as we were singing with him, yes, we're praising him and falling down before him. But he helps us in our praise. Morning, noon and night. God wants us to be a praising people. Not just on a Sunday, but through the week. Praise isn't about the form, it's not about the building. It's not like we said this morning about the dress code or the instrument. Praise is all about our God. And doesn't it bring you great joy when you see others praising the Lord? I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard about it. The Fijian rugby team, all seven of them, when they won the Olympic gold medal, they praised God, they sang. And the words that they sang was, victory belongs to the blood, through the blood of the Lamb. My brother-in-law told me how they came to England once, and they just turned up at his church on a Sunday morning, and there was all these Fijian rugby players singing the praises of the Lord, each one of them saved. That brings you great joy, not just in a church building, but they were singing before the world. So praise the Lord. Praise him, oh my soul. But let's look now at verses 3 to 4. We've seen that call to worship from the heart, not as a mere duty, but because you love God. But now let's consider a caution about misplaced trust. Verse 3, do not put your trust in princes. When a very well-known and respected preacher in the UK a number of years ago left his wife and started to live with another man, it deeply rocked and shocked the evangelical community. A pastor who knew him well, who loved him much, turned to his friend and said how he was heartbroken. And his friend said this, do not put your trust in princes. Do not trust in men. Men are failures, men are sinful. Men as well are people who are fallible and frail and will die. Don't trust in people who are changing and changeable. Rather trust in the living God, the one who is perfect, the one who is utterly faithful. Now there is a tendency in the human heart to put men on pedestals. There's a tendency as well to give glory to men and to put our confidence in them rather than trust in the Lord. During a pandemic, do we put our trust in the World Health Organization? Do we put our trust in our governments to make decisions? Do we put our trust in the medics? Or do we trust in the living God? We ought to trust first in the living God and pray for our medics and pray for the World Health Organization. But our trust ought to be in God. So often we put our trust in the wrong place. We can put our trust in politicians. My son-in-law over this last holiday time said to us all, I don't think you can trust in one politician. And I think today many people would agree with that. But there is a danger at times to trust in certain people. When the president of Brazil, Bolsonaro, came on the scene, all the evangelicals seemed to think that he would be the solution for Brazil, and they put their trust in him, only later to be bitterly disappointed. Some people trust in men with money, Bill Gates, or others. Some put their trust in medical specialists, particularly if you're going through a crisis. Some put their trust in psychiatrists. Now, all these people have their place. But a young man who lived with us went back to Brazil, went to the psychiatrist, and straight after going to the psychiatrist, went a few floors up and threw himself off of high-rise flats and killed himself. Our trust ought to be in the living God. Do not put your trust in men. Here, princes is talking about the powerful, the influential. And the reason is this. There is no help ultimately in man. Do not put your trust in princes nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. He cannot ultimately help you in all the trials, in all the struggles of life. God can use a person, but in the big issues of your soul, of heaven and hell and walking with God, there is no ultimate real help there. His spirit departs. He returns to the earth. In that very day, his plans perish. He may have had big dreams, but they all go in the day that he died. And we are frail. Nobody knows the day when we'll be taken from this earth. During this pandemic, we've seen one of the men who came here occasionally, who lived just nearby, losing his life in his 40s. One of the ladies who used to come here fairly often, considering baptism one stage, her life taken also. A friend of mine in Brazil, in his 40s, going. And it reminds us that life is short and life is fleeting. Why would we trust in somebody that may be taken from us? Trust in the Lord. In him there is hope. In the God of Jacob there is strength. Happy is the man who trusts in the living God. So we're thinking of a psalm of praise. But as we think of praise, we're also told, well, if you're going to praise God and worship him, make sure that your life actually isn't centered somewhere else. You're too much dependent upon a person rather than upon the Lord. And now let's go to verses 5 to 10. Here we have reasons to trust in God and to praise him. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help. Happy. That word is often translated in the book of Psalms as blessed. Blessed is the man. It's a beatitude. Oh, how content. Oh, how blessed. Oh, how satisfied. Happy is the man who has the God of Jacob for his help. Happy is the man who's regenerate, who's born again. Happy is the woman who has the Spirit of God dwelling in her. Happy is the one who has the Almighty God, the God of Jacob, the one who was gracious to Israel, and the one who is our God. Happy is the one who is the person who has him as their God, for he will never, ever, ever disappoint. He is the one who hears prayer. We may need to wait upon him and sometimes wait a long time for some answers to prayer. Some of the prayer answers will be no, but the God of heaven answers prayer. He helps. He intervenes. He delivers. Happy is the person who has this God as their God. Think of Joseph. Joseph trusted in the God of Jacob. And he suffered much. He suffered injustice. But look what we read. This God, verse 7, is the one who executes justice for the oppressed. Here was this young man, badly treated, sold as a slave. But God was his God. We read in verse 7, he gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. Here's Joseph. He wasn't allowed to starve in prison. The Lord provided for him and the Lord released him. The Lord lifted him up. He's the one who lifts up and raises up, verse 8, the one who is bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. See what God does for his people? It's not that they're righteous in themselves. It's not that they're better than others. But they know that they're covered with the righteousness of God. Through faith, they've become righteous. They're accounted as righteous. And for them, God is gracious towards them. He delivers, he defends, he acts on their behalf. Think of Jacob himself. Jacob had to flee from his brother, but God met him. Jacob was deceived by his uncle Laban, but God blessed him. If you have the God of Jacob as your God, he will be your help. We think of many Old Testament people who the Lord has cared for. Naomi, she loses a husband. She loses two sons. She spends 10 long years or more away in a foreign land. But the God of Jacob is her God. He loves the widow. He brings her back. She's given Ruth. Ruth is a stranger, a foreigner. But the Lord loves a foreigner. And the Lord takes care of Naomi and Ruth. Verse 9, the Lord watches over the stranger, over the foreigner. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. So here we have reasons why we may trust in God. Because our God is the God who defends his people, who loves the widow. Do you think about the widows today who sometimes spend many long, lonely hours alone? God doesn't forget them. Do you think of the orphan who's directionless in life, has no mother and father to care for him or her, who has a very difficult, unstable upbringing? The Lord doesn't forget the orphan. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. This is our God. Let's just consider a few more things that is said in these verses. Verse 6, he is the God who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. Our God is not a God who does not have power. He has all power. He created the heavens and the earth. He's a majestic God. Therefore, we can trust in him. He's a God who's made a world of great beauty and intricacy. He's made the rolling hills. He's made the beautiful birds and their song. The beautiful colours of the landscape around us, of nature. He's made all the animals. The sea, he's in charge of. All the teeming fish in the sea. He directs the paths of the fish in the sea. This is our God. He's an immense God, far beyond us. Therefore, we ought to praise him for who he is. We are his creatures. And ought not the creature to praise the Creator? Not only that, he keeps truth forever. He's a faithful God. He's a trustworthy God. We, as human beings, are deceitful. There are many lies. We are twisted. We are unfaithful. We do not keep our word. We are not those who can be relied upon. We let one another down. We disappoint others. But our God keeps truth forever. For that reason, we praise our God. Now think of the Lord Jesus. You can't really read these verses without thinking of the Lord Jesus. You think of him in the synagogue and how he said in Capernaum, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to preach good news to the poor, to set the captive free. Now you can take these verses here literally, the one who provides justice, provides food, provides freedom for prisoners. You can take it in a literal form. God is the one who provides the basic human rights of men. Three rights: rights to food, rights to justice, rights to freedom. He provides that. But also, surely these words, as we read scripture, can be taken on the spiritual level also. We think of our Lord Jesus. He set the prisoner free, the demon-possessed. Those who are bound in sin, he opened the doors of their hearts. Those who needed healing, he healed. The famished soul he provided bread for. He is the one who brings about justice and will bring about final justice in the earth. We read here, the way of the wicked he turns upside down. So often in this world, God's put down people. He puts down a Hitler or a Stalin. But you know, all unbelievers will face the justice of the living God. And this ought to cause us to praise God. To praise him that he is a holy God who executes justice. We have every reason to praise our God. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here upon the earth, he physically fed people, the 5,000. He was a defender of those who were defenseless. He cared for people. He showed tremendous compassion. Our God is not indifferent, and our Saviour loves sinners. Ian at our prayer meeting mentioned Ratcliffe, who's imprisoned in Iran and been there for 5 years. God is not indifferent to such people's plights. The Afghan people, many displaced, millions. the suffering of the Palestinians or the people of Yemen. So we could go on. God is not indifferent. He uses organizations like the Red Cross or the Red Crescent or Amnesty International, multiple Christian agencies for his good purposes. God is not indifferent to the plights of people in this world, the sorrows. This is what we're reading in this psalm. He executes justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. You know, the greatest blessing of all comes in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is not indifferent because he sent his only Son to bleed and to die for sinners, that we might be reconciled with God. It's one thing to be safe from war. It's one thing to be safe from famine. It's one thing to be safe from injustice, from imprisonment. But it's a far greater thing to be saved from sin and hell. And this is what our Lord Jesus Christ came to do. And for that reason, we can and must and will praise our God. So as we conclude this evening, let's resolve to praise the Lord. Verse 10, the concluding verse of this psalm says this: "The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord." Our God is reigning. He is upon his throne, and he will remain upon his throne for all generations. The world may wax worse and worse, but our God reigns. And for that reason, we praise his name. Amen.